I told you that this is a hard passage to go through. We knew that when we chose it. But we also knew that Lent was a time of heart preparation, and this was a good passage for it. But I told you that sometimes you need some light things just to help the atmosphere not be so heavy. So, whoa your boat gently down the stream. Okay. We want to have a little bit of humor, but we also have the gentleness. Well, there's not much gentleness in this. I'm going to read it again just to show you. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. As you can see from this text, and also this title for the fourth message, the fourth woe. We're at the fourth woe now. We got seven woes, okay? We're at the fourth one. Jesus is still using very strong, colorful language sometimes, still maintaining his stance as a prophet, and still trying to get people not to practice the ways of these hypocritical teachers of the law, and these Pharisees who are legalists. In this woe, he singles out one specific facet of the shallowness that is in their practices of worshiping God. And that is being scrupulous with trivial matters while disregarding what God has called important. Being scrupulous with trivial matters. Trivia. Well, disregarding what God had called important. As leaders, they had set forth superficial, ceremonial issues. Just ceremonial issues, like washing of hands and tithing mint and cumin, these little spices that grew on their patios probably, or their courtyards, whatever. And they had set aside the essential moral principles that really mattered to God. Superficial worship advertises a false concept, a false conception of God. Superficial worship. And this is a major error because it not only misrepresents God, but it leads others into a superficial kind of worship. Not a worship in depth that really comes from the heart. And Jesus illustrates this by telling the crowds and the disciples. He's not talking to the Pharisees. He's telling the crowds and the disciples because he doesn't want them to practice those ways. That these leaders were consuming condiments and they were missing the meal. They were consuming spices and herbs and mints, condiments, flavorings. And they were missing the meal. You know, legalism can blind us by adding so much to the practice of God's commands that the principles in God's commands are left behind or they're lost. In Deuteronomy, this is the principle. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and verse 23, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that is in your fields or all that your fields produce each year, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. The tithe was meant to remind people who their provider was. That was the intention of the tithe. A ceremonial or a ritualistic thing that would help people with their hearts remember the Lord, their provider. Now, it had a ceremonial form, but it had a relational purpose. That is the point. The relational purpose was the thing that was important. Our chosen forms and styles of worship must not distract us from our relationship with the one that we worship. If we can actually get caught up in small details of how we worship, oh, you didn't do it right this way, Pastor David. you didn't do it right this way. How would, this week? You know, I could miss something, or Dawn could miss something, or Terry could miss something, or we all could not wear the right outfit to church or something, you know. Oh, I didn't match. Oh, we didn't do the pyramids the right way. You know, we didn't do the pyramids right. The first two Sundays of Lent, we did them white. That's okay. It's a small thing, really. It's not really part of our deep worship of God. That's just a minor point. The Jewish leaders knew. They were actually in the position to know. The Jewish leaders knew that their practice of tithing herbs was man-made. It says it in the Talmud. The Jewish Talmud said, the tithing of corn, wheat or corn, is from the law, and the tithing of herbs is from the rabbis. That was in their Talmud, in their commentary. Okay? And they have commentaries too, you know. Talmud was like a commentary. Sometimes they held the commentary above the actual Word of God. Their thinking was, hey, let's get technical. Everything should be tithed, right? So what if we miss tithing the stuff in our garden? In our backyard patio, in the potted plants? You know, the herbs and spices that we use on our meals? Well, what would people think of us if we missed those things? What would people think of us? And many of these things, they did these things so that people would see them doing, oh, they're so religious, they even tied their mint and their cumin and their dill. And you know what? Yeah, it's technical. But the technical can become mechanical. And when it becomes mechanical, the form takes precedence over the purpose. And people are being mechanical rather than relational. And worship can fall into that. And that is what upsets God. So our worship and these little areas, when we overemphasize them, can actually upset God. You can see how upset He gets in the form of Jesus. He shows us how upset He gets. Why is tithing and tithes, why is it so important to God? Well, it's because God wants a tenth. I mean, He gives us 90%, but He wants a tenth. No, that's wrong. He wants us to remember Him. He doesn't want a tenth. He doesn't need a tenth. He can provide whatever He needs to do. No, He wants us to remember Him. That's the point. Superficial religious forms in worship can bring a false sense of spiritual security. Oh, I'm okay with God. I'm all right with God. A feeling of spiritual security. But really, condiments will give your taste buds a flavored experience. That's what condiments will do. If you just picked up condiments and put them on your taste buds, they would give you a flavored experience, but your stomach would be empty. Your stomach would be empty. And humans are to feed upon the Word of God, not upon the little ideas of the rabbis, you know, or not on the ideas of your favorite preachers, Terry and Dawn and David, right? No, it's not on things we say. It's what we can bring out of the Word of God and not add to it. God allows diversity in human customs, in worship. He, in fact, I believe God actually likes it. I think God looks down and says, oh, look what they're doing. They now have a big screen up and they show My Word on the screen so people can read it. That's amazing. I love how the humans think of that kind of stuff. I think He likes all that. But so, if we don't have a screen and the Word of God up there, we haven't really worshipped yet. And you know, people can actually go into another culture and they're sitting in a huddle, maybe, around a fire, and they're having church. And if they came to our church, they'd say, where's the huddle? Where's the fire? You can't have a church without the huddle and the fire. And we might say, well, how are you having church around a campfire like that? How do you do that? Where's your pews? Or where's your seat? We don't have any pews, by the way. We do have a pulpit, but what if it was just one of those little music stands, you know? So, what is those things? Those things are minors. Those things are just super... Those are things that are man-invented. And we sometimes get so used to them that we say, well, that's church. No. if that was all taken away. Church is what's sitting in these seats right here. It's us. It's just us. That is what church is. And what we bring into the pyramids, the banners, these sort of set the tone for us and help us. They help us to worship, but we can't put those as our worship. And that's a good thing as we think about a memorial for having these church banners. Yes, we want them. I think they're beautiful. I think we should glorify God with different things that are beautiful. But that's not our worship. That may help us to worship, but that's not our worship. God loves that variety, but sometimes these things are man-made and trivial in comparison to God's major principles. And we need to major on the majors. His woe to the Jewish leaders was because they were misrepresenting God, and they were distracting people from the right diet, God's diet for humanity. What God wanted them to have as a meal. They were overlooking God's menu for a holy meal, for holy living. They were overlooking God's menu. These leaders knew what was on the menu. They really did know what was on. Jesus called to account about what was in the law, in which they claimed to be experts. They were experts in the law. And yet he said, okay, this is in the law, right? What you're missing is in the law. You're doing the rabbi stuff. You're missing what was in the law. And just as the prophets, they always referred to the law and they brought it in front of the people and said, look what you're not doing, you unrighteous hypocrites. Look what you're not doing. And you talk about Jesus' strong language. Some of the language back in the Old Testament with the prophets was really strong. And he would say, look what you're not doing. You're not doing what the law says. Look what And Jesus was, in a sense, doing the same thing. He's pointing to God's word and he's saying, look what you're not doing. And here's one of the prophets, Hosea 12:6. So you, by the help of your God, return, observe mercy and justice, and wait upon your God continually. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. Here it is again in Micah, the prophet, 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord your God require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Justice, mercy, loyalty, faithfulness. Worship becomes superficial when it is disconnected from the essential qualities of true holiness. Amos chapter 5, another prophet. I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. This is God talking to his people. Okay? I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river. Righteous like a never-failing stream. What was God after? Yes, they were doing all the right things. Scrupulously, they were doing all the right things. But they were not doing God's will. Yes, he had told them in the law some of these things. But they had put everything into the ceremonial, and they had forgotten the relational. Who were they representing by their lives? There are three main courses in God's menu: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And these duties go right back to the Garden of Eden. If you think about it, he had made man in his image to represent him on earth, to represent God on earth. And we were to be like God and to act like God, governing the world as he would, with justice. Taking care of creation and of our, taking care of our brothers too, including, you know, as he would, with mercy. And walking in faithfulness to their creator. Instead of listening to a demonic angel that would open their eyes to their own view of morality. You know, the very first scruple, the very first invented scruple by humans was after they became independent, morally independent from God through eating that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they had made a covering that covered about a tenth of their bodies. A tenth of their bodies with leaves. Does that sound familiar? A tenth and leaves. What were these spices? They were a tenth of leaves from herbs to cover and make them holy or pure. Let me tell you something. This very first scruple invented by man did not cover sin. It did not make up for sinning. And these tithes did not make up for the sins in the lives of these religious leaders. And they trusted, Adam and Eve trusted that would hide them. That would hide them in their sin. It did not. Moral purity, and that's the point. Moral purity, not ceremonial purity, but moral purity can no more come from wearing fig leaves than it can come from tithing the leaves of herbs like mint, dill, and cumin. We don't do that anymore, by the way. We don't tithe those things. I'm glad you don't bring to church and drop some of these leaves in the church offering. I have to clean it up before I put it in the little basket that goes back to church. But Jesus was confronting this kind of religious attitude that tried to cover up a life with something that was supposedly pure. And so it was because they were promoting a misconception of moral purity. That's what they were doing. They were promoting a misconception of moral purity. You blind guides, Jesus. You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Now gnats were unclean meat. You might think of them as meat. They're very tiny. I mean, that's not much meat, is it, on a gnat? Jesus was making a very good illustration here. Because gnats are just little tiny unclean meat. They're unclean, but they're really tiny unclean meat that you could not even know that you probably ate it. So what they did, they used to customarily take a cloth over their cup and pour the wine through a cloth so that any gnats or larvae of gnats would be, you know, strained out. You strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. How much effort would it take to eat a camel? It would take no effort at all. By mistake, you can swallow a gnat, which is unclean. But what a camel! You have to really intentionally sit down, maybe weeks on end, and eat a camel, which is also unclean meat. Jesus was making a graphic comparison by taking their scrupulous effort to avoid a insignificant ceremonial impurity. It was insignificant, and it really wasn't even God's plan. It was not even in God's plan. It was from the rabbis, and he was contrasting it with the sin of omission, the sin of a much greater moral impurity by omitting justice, mercy, and faithfulness in their lives, and making those things the priority. This attitude in the Jewish leaders is exemplified in the story of Judas. Listen to this. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this money into the treasury, since it is blood money." Do you get that? The Jewish leaders swallowed a camel by paying a man to betray innocent blood. And then, because it was innocent blood, they couldn't take those coins. They scrupled over it. They can't take those coins and put them into the temple treasury. It would defile the temple. Little does it matter that they defiled their hearts and lives. But they didn't want to defile the temple treasury with that blood money. Do we trust in certain principles, certain scruples in worship to please God, but we fail to treat others fairly. Always to treat others fairly. We fail to be kind to others in word and deed. Boy, do I fail sometimes in that with my children. Her love. She knows. She knows. And man-made scruples. Do we become legalistic? And we think, I instead of being loyal to our Maker in public places where His name is defiled and speaking up for Him, that's loyalty. When you hear about people misrepresenting God and you say, listen, that's not how God has portrayed Himself. Let me tell you about God. Do we speak up for Him? Are we loyal in public, in the public arena? Superficial worship advertises a false conception of God. God wants us to represent Him. And He wants us to do this in how we worship. Not in a legalistic worship that's mechanical instead of being relational. Just go through the motions, you know. And this kind of mechanical worship, it represents man-made ideas and man-made scruples. It portrays God as a meticulous scruple checker. Oh, God is watching out to make sure you keep all these scruples together. You didn't set the pyramids up right. 40 days of no blessing in the services if we don't do the pyramids right. Come on. Where is that at? That's not God is not a scruple checker, but He does check on the majors. He wants to see if we're representing Him in justice, mercy, and faithfulness in our hearts, in our lives, in our behavior. Jesus said, woe to this kind of legalism. He confronted it because He wants to heal it. He wants to heal it. He didn't just want to badmouth these people. He wants to heal this kind of legalism and turn it around. And He can. He can change a life that is cramped up with pettiness. He can change a life by bringing righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit. He can bring kingdom living into our lives. He can show that He is the King reigning in hearts that have this righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit that represents the kingdom of God. And then, after we have that, we can truly represent Him. We can represent the kind of God we really have. A God who requires us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for these woes. Oh Lord, it is tough to go through because they nail us everywhere along the way. They're nailing different things in our lives. We can't get away from it. It pins us, my Lord. And it shows us where we have erred and where we need heart preparation as we anticipate the celebration of Easter and resurrection. Lord, might You begin to resurrect our hearts now into the things that are truly important. Yes, Lord, these are beautiful things that we have here, pyramids and the way we have our worship service. But if You wanted to change it, Lord, we need to be open to that as well. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your equity and justice. Lord, help us to live that way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.